every little thing, everything we do has like a micro effect on everything else we do. Those small decisions are really important, and it can be really easy guidance.
Welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast, where we explore the latest in quantum science, personal development, consciousness and spirituality, health, as well as business and money mastery. Join me as I interview experts from all over the world sharing the most incredible stories of transformation. This is where we provide you with the exact tools and coaching activities you need to expand your consciousness in each of the eight areas of your life. For more info on our events, programs, coaching, etc., go to drespen.com for the full quantum experience. Welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast. I'm Espen. Today I'm joined by Cassandra Bodzak. She's a thought leader, best-selling author, and sought-after on-camera personality. She's also a speaker in mindfulness, personal development, and I would also say spirituality. She's also the host of the popular spiritual podcast, Divine Downloads. Go check it out. What a cool name. Cassandra has been featured on ABC's The Taste with Anthony Bourdain as a happy, healthy living guru. What a cool thing to be associated with. She's been called the award-winning thought leader and intuitive coach by Forbes, and of course also a spiritual leader by Well and Good. So we're excited to go deep into the spiritual realms today. We want to talk about the spiritual awakening that's happening in the world, perhaps, or at least within each and every one of us in a different way. And we're going to talk about both manifesting and meditation and some powerful tools that you can apply in your life to take your spiritual fulfillment, your happiness, and of course, your ascension and your healing to the next level. So I want to say a very special welcome, Cassandra. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Amazing.
Excited to dive into it all. It's always so fun to chat about it.
That's really cool. Okay, so I want to know how you got started on this spiritual path. I think for many of our listeners and viewers, they're quite spiritual in their essence, or at least spiritually curious. And I think many people over the years have discovered that it's not just about having success or achievement or being moving forward in life in that regard, but it's also about the day-to-day feeling and how we show up in the world and opening our hearts and so on. So I want to learn, where did your journey begin? Tell us about it, please.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I feel like my spiritual awakening journey is very much intertwined with my like business success and like monetary success journey. It first started when I was in college, when I was 21. I got humbled for the first time with my physical health. And all of a sudden, I was a dancer, a performer. I would choreograph. I danced my entire life. So having all these mysterious pains, not being able to dance, I could barely walk. It was just nuts. And nobody could figure out what's going on with me. I went on your typical like Western health journey to get all the like blood tests and all the things. And they were like, we don't know. Everything's coming back fine. And that was my first moment where I just surrendered to God. I had been raised Catholic, so I'd gone to church and done like Sunday school and all that kind of thing. But I don't really feel like I had like a deep connection to God up until that point. But in that moment of desperation and really feeling like I wasn't getting any answers and being in a ton of pain, which always I think helps the surrender, I was like, God, what is going on? But now I'll say intuitively, at the time I wouldn't have even used that word, but like intuitively what came to me was go to the library, start looking up things about like nutrition and food and stuff like that. And I ended up researching all this stuff about how that there are all these allergens that people can have. You can have like, this was like, we're talking like 2008, 2007, right? So this was like before like everybody was like vegan, gluten-free, paleo, knew that like we were allergic to 7,000 different things. And there were like lectins in this and nightshades were that, right? It was like not that world. I was eating like chicken fingers and pizza and like, my healthy was like eating salads, and I worked out a ton because I was just very physical. And so I thought I was doing okay. I'm getting my protein and my vegetables or whatnot. And so I ended up doing an elimination diet through this. And within 7 days of eliminating all this stuff from my diet, I fully healed myself, essentially. But I was just taking out all the things that were making me sick. You know, it wasn't really revolutionary, but at the time, it wasn't as popular as it is now. And that was my first kind of spiritual awakening, the first time I like came to that relationship. And that opened a whole door where now I feel like I had access to this thing that I could like tune into for help and for guidance. And I felt less alone and left to my own devices. And that also corresponded with when I started my first blog, because I wanted to share about my journey, because there had been, it had been so out of my awareness that anybody else was struggling with this, that I knew that there must be other people going through this, maybe my age, maybe a little bit older, that felt so deeply alone in the journey. And if they could somehow find my little live journal thing that I was posting or whatever, maybe they would be like, oh man, like this is what's been going on with me that nobody can figure out. And so that's kind of when like those two roads began. And then my even deeper spiritual awakening happened a bit later, around 25, when my little brother got diagnosed with a terminal illness. And he's stable right now, still has it. But at the time, we didn't know if he was going to live the next like couple years. And it was just earth shattering. The first real, like, I think, break of innocence in my life, where I was like, wow, like things could not make sense. Perfectly healthy people could get really sick and for no apparent rhyme or reason. And that really humbled me again. That's when I really had my eat, pray, love, bathroom floor moment of like crying and desperation and screaming at God, talking to God. And I heard meditate for the first time. And through that path started really, that's when like stuff started like opening up. I was in so much pain once again, but now it was emotional pain instead of physical pain. And I just dove into it. Whether it was like guided meditations on YouTube, I was living in New York at the time, went to like a Buddhist monastery in Brooklyn to take meditation classes, did like yoga, kundalini class. Like I tried all the different things. I tasted all the flavors. I was just like, something's got to help me move through this and help me be a productive human for my brother during this really hard time for him. And that's really what flung the doors open, I think, for me, as far as like getting into people like Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay, reading A Course in Miracles, Deepak Chopra, and having a really powerful daily meditation practice, visualization practice. And then it's, you know, again, like you had kind of mentioned, this dance with the worldly success. For me, at that point, I mean, I was a struggling actress at that point. I was doing like TV shows here and there, doing okay, but not feeling like fulfilled or passionate. But I still had that blog. And that blog was like my creative juice. It was like my way of feeling like I could help people in the world. And so I just started sharing more of the things that I was learning and kind of what I was going through. And little by little, it blew up. Unbeknownst to like any real hardcore strategy of mine, just really being in the energy of what is the next aligned action for me to do today? What's going to light me up today? All of a sudden, within the span of 2 years, I was on ABC, you know, on national television as myself talking about things. And then, you know, had a book deal and was and had clients lining up that wanted to work with me. And all of that just went hand in hand by me getting aligned and on purpose and and following my spiritual journey.
Beautiful. I'd love to
try to get in.
No, this is great. I love the summary. And I want to touch on this nutritional point, because that seems to be the first step. And, you know, as I've studied spiritual texts from all around the world and all traditions and all religions, it seems like, and I've seen the trend everywhere, but more in some places than others, but in every single tradition, every single path to spiritual enlightenment starts with the physical purification. And you mentioned going from eating the standard path, you know, the pizzas and whatever, and then not really thinking much about it, to 7 days and clearing the symptoms in 7 days. So back in the day, I was a qualified nutritionist and I loved teaching people about these things, but I still see it to this day, even with some of the people closest to me, there seems to be this either I don't want to look at it or I have missed the entire point, as in they've not been educated, to the direct correlation between purity of living and living a beautiful life and eating clean and fasting and these things and every single one of the other areas of life. And I think this is so mind-boggling because it even took me a long time to realize, you know, personal trainer, nutritionist, school teacher, I'm doing all these things right, but it was not even close to where I am today. So I'd love if you can go a little bit deeper on this because, you know, this process of elimination, to be frank, and I'll say it as from a physician standpoint, most people that are ill in society these days, living in, you know, say first world countries, are sick because of the way they live their lifestyle. They're putting things into the body, not understanding that those things are directly harmful and directly toxic. And to take it further, for me as a parent, it breaks my heart the way many people are feeding their children with poisons and toxins. And they may not look like it because it's just this little packet and it comes from a supermarket, but that is full of artificial colors and sweeteners and preservatives and additives and these horrible things. And you were able to change your life around in 7 days by purifying your diet. Can you take us a little bit deeper on this? This is powerful.
Yeah, it is so true. It's so true. I think in general, I also really believe that, like, kind of the even like the flip of that, right? That our common food, our packaged food, the most easily accessible food that is affordable and to us is really meant to numb us, right? Mm. It's meant to numb us from like the truth of who we are and numb us from our spiritual connection, our inspiration, our conscious awareness. And if you think about that, like just think about like how you feel after eating. And it's like, I don't even want to say something like pizza because pizza is like such a spectrum. Like you go to Italy and like feel totally different after eating a pizza than like, you know, ordering like a, I don't know, like a frozen pizza or whatever, you know, here. But when we're eating like fresh food, we feel different. When we're eating like, you know, stale food, food that has no like life source in it, we also feel like we have no life source. And one of the things that I really noticed for me, I went very extreme. So I went gluten-free, nut-free, nightshade-free, and meat-free. and dairy-free. So I really eliminated, like I was eating pretty much like brown rice with like certain vegetables. And for anyone that's been in like a serious space health-wise or in a lot of pain physically, you know, there's a willingness to do that because you're just like, hey, I'm desperate. Like that might sound extreme to someone listening, but if you've been living in pain for like 6 months and like everyone's telling you that they don't know what's wrong with you, you're like, dude, this is like the least of what I could try for a week, you know?
Yep.
And then once I started feeling better, like I lived like very, very clean for that first 6 months, which is actually a little bit longer than you're supposed to go before you start incorporating things. But I was just so scared. I didn't want to incorporate anything else. I was feeling so amazing for the first time. I was feeling even better than I did before I got sick. And it made me realize that there was this whole new level of how we can actually feel.
Yeah.
When we eat clean that most of us don't even know. If exactly. That hadn't happened to me, I would have never even touched it. Not through like you were saying with like kids, like growing up. My parents were like, I would say very like standard American parents, you know, I had like my grilled cheese with tomato soup after school a lot of time, had, you know, like chicken with my vegetables and my potatoes or whatever at dinner. It's not like they were feeding us like fast food 3 meals a day or anything like that. But I had never tapped into that level of clean eating before. It just wasn't ever available. And so I think, you know, one of the things that we can do on our spiritual path, whether it's you want to feel happier, you're feeling like depressed and uninspired in life, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling disconnected spiritually, you're feeling unmotivated work-wise, cleaning up your diet is like the first line of defense. Yeah. And when I actually went to, years ago, I went to a talk by this woman, struggled with depression, was like a very successful model, and had now become an advocate for eating and different like holistic modalities to help with depression and anxiety. And she said as soon as she's starting feeling low, the first thing she does is clean up her diet. She takes a note, like, where have I been slipping? Like, what's going on? And even if you just do it from like that perspective, being like, I've been kind of just not feeling amazing lately. Let me spend a week and focus on like eat like fruits, vegetables, and then whatever else you like on the whole food category if you want to. I think there are definitely different people work better with different things. And meat is something that hasn't worked well for me in my digestion. But I don't think that that has to be for everyone. There might be people that can process it well. And I think most importantly, it's like whatever you're getting. I don't care if it's like the coconut milk yogurt or the Greek yogurt, but making sure, like you were saying, looking like, is it clean? What other additives are in it? Are they adding sugar? Are they adding whatever, like the amount of stuff that you find on ingredient lists when you look are terrifying. But yeah, just cleaning it up and even doing that experiment for like a week is, I think, just game changing, because what it does is it helps you access what you could feel like. Mm. And then it's up to you. Now you know that that like dial on the television works. And if you want to tune into it, it's available for you. And there's a lot of things in this world, I think, you know, that are trying to force us to eat these things that are more processed because they're more affordable and big companies make more money and they're not going to, you know, the Kraft or whatever big company, I have nothing, you know, no vendetta against any one specific one, but it's like they don't, it's easier to go to the store and buy something like that for $3 than it is to go to your local farmer's market and meet the guy that actually like makes his own yogurt, right? Or, you know, or plants his own vegetables and talk to him, right? And so, yeah, I think there's a huge connection. I'm also a huge advocate for fasting. I think fasting is in every spiritual principle, like every spiritual tradition and different degrees of fasting. Like I myself have also done water fasting with tremendously good results. I think, again, everybody's body, everybody's like state of health. You obviously, I went to a certified professional when I was doing that and had them like check out all my blood work and make sure I was a good candidate. But I think that when we purify our body, when we start eating clean, organic, mostly fruits and vegetables, whole grains, not processed food, drink lots of water, we can tap into the truth of who we really are so much faster. And everything kind of opens up from there.
I think this is a critical point, and it's a very, very important thing to consider. I mean, in general, people are overfed and undernourished and unfortunately highly toxic. And the unfortunate thing, taking my mother as an example, she had cancer for 15 years before she got diagnosed. And then she had a 15 by 15 centimeter tumor in her lungs. And that means you can have a chronic disease, life-threatening disease for decades. Cancer is one of them, without even feeling a single symptom. And you are right. It dumbs and numbs us down because there are large corporations out there with massive marketing budgets and tremendous deals with governments to push directly cancer-causing stuff, including processed sugar and other things, out to the masses to, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a vested interest in dumbing us down. I personally truly do believe it is. But if you remove that aspect, at least we know that there are a lot of toxins in our reality. And so what does this mean? We have to take full responsibility. And for me, you know, when I was 20, I'm very healthy, very fit. But now I'm in my 40s, and honestly, I am so much stronger, fitter, happier, faster, more grounded, more integrated. My joint pain is gone. I have so much energy. I have so much better health and happiness 2 decades later compared to my 20s. How does that work? It's really the things that we're talking about. Clean up your diet, like I intermittent fast Monday to Friday. Eat clean, organic food. I pray over the food and many other things. And I think for people watching and listening right now, take this into consideration. If your lifestyle is impure, your mind and your happiness will be just the same. If you want to be happy, it really comes down to living clean and honoring your temple. So, wow, what a conversation. And I remember a story. I'll tell this quickly before I segue into the next question. It wasn't long ago my son started at daycare. And I walked into daycare and there were approximately 30 other children there. And I asked the lady that works there, I said, where do I put the water and the sunscreen? And she goes, oh, we have water here. And I said, well, are there any other parents that are bringing in water? And they said, no, we all drink the tap water. And I don't know, you know, similar to America, in many places, the water in Australia is not the cleanest. I mean, it depends on where you live, but if you put water in a, like clean water in a glass and tap water in a glass, you can see the difference by the yellow color and you can smell the chlorine. If that is the case, then you could just imagine what else is in there. So I'm not saying don't drink tap water. I'm saying what could it be like if you started drinking clean water? And I was mind boggled. This broke my heart, Cassandra, because I was the only parent out of 30 children that brought in clean water and sunscreen without the cancer causing. I mean, most sunscreens off the shelf have cancer causing, scientifically proven cancer causing chemicals in the sunscreen, and we smear it on our children and send them out in the sun, not even thinking or knowing that there are natural sunscreen, zinc-based sunscreen, that works just as well as the stuff that causes cancer. So we have to get educated, people. We've got to get smart. There are vested interests out there bombarding us with toxins, and you are, in many ways, unaware or bending over and taking it. So let's get smart. Let's get sovereign. Let's start to respect this amazing vessel that the Creator has given us and start to see the effects that that has on our life. I'm just, yeah, it's a prayer offering. I'm offering this prayer up for you with power behind it, because I trust that you feel it in your beingness and you shift your actions and you protect your children and your family from these harmful things. And of course, there's going to be balance. There's going to be, you know, I'll have pancakes on a Saturday morning with my son. I'll have an ice cream from time to time. There is balance. But if, and here's the kicker, this is the one for me, if you continue to purify your life more and more as you age, you will have a better quality of life as you age. And it's not hard. It starts with a decision. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I also do, I get amped up in those situations, particularly around schools and what we feed our children, because I don't know how it is in Australia, but in the US, we have like a lunch subsidy program where the government literally subsidizes the prices of things like meat and dairy and whatnot for school lunches. And you know, these things that are getting discounted are not the highest quality of, you know, meat or dairy or whatever, right? And so, I mean, I think there's, our system on such a high level is broken, right? Because to me, you say that, and I think not even immediately, what about all these other parents? I think immediately, like, who's running a daycare and doesn't have a water filter?
Yeah.
Right? And doesn't think that's like a basic standard of care, right? That we are not going to feed, you know, are not going to, give our children water to drink that has different toxins and antibiotics and Lord knows what in it, right? And same thing with sunscreen, right? Or what the, if you're going to give the kids apples for a snack, they should be organic apples, right? Like, it, on so many levels, it's like, this should just be common sense, I would think, right? But the truth is that it's not, and it's not cost effective, which is why a lot of that is not normal, quote unquote normal or whatnot. And we do have to be advocates. And I think being a parent helps turn that on in a lot of people. I think a lot of times when maybe they struggle to do that for themselves, sometimes having their child helps them, you know, want to even be better for their children. But I think for all of us, it's such, you know, if you're someone that cares about, I think, your own spiritual awakening process, even cares about your own success. Like, if you really think about some of the like top, if that's what motivates someone is like money, success, fine, whatever. Some of the top highest performers are the most OCD about their diet.
Yeah.
Right. are the most like diligent. And that's why, like, you know, people make fun of, you know, this is probably years ago, but we would like have like rosters for like famous celebrities or whatever. And they would be like, oh, they require like 7 mountain spring glass water jars and 3 organic apples and peanut butter only made from this place or whatever, right? And it's like, hey, because if this person is playing at the top of their game, they're not messing around. They're not eating the like generic whatever it is, right? And I do think, like you were saying, it can feel really overwhelming if someone's listening to this and it's like way on the other end of the spectrum. But it's just starting with like one thing at a time. Start with the water, get a good water filter, or, you know, we have in the States, you can get delivery of like glass bottles of spring water. I have a Berkey, whatever like filter you want to use, but like one thing at a time. And if, you know, right now it's like, start with even one meal. Okay, for breakfast, I'm going to make sure I have like, you know, organic oats and organic berries or whatever, right? You know, just I'm going to start one meal at a time and start introducing it. It doesn't need to be overwhelming. And I don't think it needs to be like you were saying. It's like, yeah, your kids can go to a party and have some pizza and cake with their friends. Like, they're going to be fine. If 90% of the time they come home and they get good, solid food, like they get, you know, they get to live, you get to live, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And I find that the more we purify our bodies, actually the more when we have those moments, either one, we're just like not even that interested in it anymore, or two, our bodies just can process it faster. And it's just like, okay, well, let's just get that out. And let's like move it along and get back to our regularly scheduled programming. And it doesn't have to be so disruptive. I also loved what you said about blessing with food, because I do think that we can't control everything. And we also shouldn't be driving ourselves crazy or neurotic trying to control everything. But if we do the best within our logical reason, and then, you know, we say a prayer, we say a blessing over our food, and we ask to like neutralize anything that's not in our highest good and help our body, you know, assimilate the nutrients that are in this food, I think that is, I really believe in the power of that. So especially if you're like, if you're out at a lunch or you're at a restaurant or something like that, and you don't have as much control as you have at home, even just saying that blessing over your food, I really believe transmutes the energy as well.
I think this is beautiful, Cassandra, this segue from food into spirituality. Let's use this as that exact bridge. And it's interesting because I was raised in a similar type family like you. There were some, well, I should say, this was my story. It was church from time to time, and it was the general belief, and there was this and that. A little bit of spirituality. My father was completely opposite. But I didn't grow up specifically feeling or needing that I had a relationship to Creator or to God. Of course, then as you become a bit more aware, perhaps, you know, a bit more conscious, you start to realize that there is something very powerful at play. And of course, now I just have this never-ending, deeply devoted relationship to Great Spirit, to God, to whatever people want to refer to it as. Now, this is interesting because when I first started praying over my food, you know, thank you so much to all the farmers and to the food and to the water and, you know, thank you for this and thank you for that and so on. It actually felt, and I know this from experience having, you know, asked people around the table to share grace, and people like, oh, sometimes people cringe because they've had negative experiences in the past or they've been raised in whatever way. And then I explained to one of my students the other day, I said, well, if you look at the study out of Japan by Dr. Omoto, and he proved that the way you interact with water will change the crystalline structure, the actual structure of the water. So they did this study, if you want to look this up, it's studied by Dr. Omoto out of Japan. And they're looking at the water, and the first batch of water, they're saying, I hate you, you're disgusting, you're horrible. And they're just literally saying negative things to water. Then they freeze it and then look at the molecular structure and the actual sacred geometry structure that became broken with hate. And then they did the same thing with the other batch of water. I love you. You're so beautiful. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for your magic. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your beauty. And then they froze it and they looked at it again. And it was completely different molecular structure, completely different expression of the water itself. So we know this by the double slit experiment, that what we focus on changes based on how we focus on it. Yes? And so then if we have any resistance, it's my personal opinion, around prayer, if we have personal resistance around gratitude for food, because that's what grace is. Take the opportunity to say thank you so that you may bless your food and imprint it with quantum code of love and blessings and beauty. And as you mentioned, you know, three types of food, alive food, dying or dead. But what about we bring life force and appreciation to the nutrition that feeds us and keeps us alive, and we imprint that into the food before we eat? Maybe we can look at grace or saying prayer or gratitude for our meals. If we can do that before each meal, I do it every morning. I hold the water, I pray to the water, I bow in front of my altar and I say, hey, God, thanks so much for this life-giving element. And I infuse it and then I drink it. And so I know what this does for my body rather than just drinking something and taking it for granted. So I would love your opinion on the bridge between this nutritional aspect and how we can begin to bring more of the sacredness or maybe even prayer into our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with that too. A great thing that anyone can do at home if you are skeptical at all or just someone that likes to experiment and have that tangible proof is literally go to like any, you know, you can go to your local like store where you can get like some like tomato plants or sprouts or, you know, a small like manageable like little potted plant. Put two plants, a great activity for kids because kids love it and it blows them away. And like one is the like the I always say like the love and then like the fear plant. And like when you speak your fears into and when you speak love and gratitude into, and watch how quickly one flourishes and one dies. And they're like the same plant bought at the same like store with like the same environment that they were growing in. And you water and take care of them both the same. The only difference is what you speak. And when you see that, I think sometimes when people like actually see that, they're like, oh, wow, right? Mm-hmm. But what I really feel like is that for me, you know, with my spiritual journey, the prayer and connecting to my intuitive guidance and connecting to my higher power came first through my diet. And so one of the things I say is that on one hand, like blessing your food for sure, but we can also use prayer to help guide our choices with food, right? And so instead of trying to fit, I'm a big advocate. I wrote a book called Eat with Intention, and it's all about having a intuitive relationship with your food and what you're putting in your body, and that all of us at different, you know, stages in our life, different ages, different hormonal fluctuations, different stress levels, different things that are going on in our body that might not even be conscious to us, right? Have different dietary needs and nutrient needs. And they've also done a study that about how we're even visually more attracted to the colors of the food that we need nutrients for.
Yeah.
So you can, but you can't. I mean, you could do this on the produce aisle of your supermarket, but I personally find it better at a farmer's market. Either way, like not the aisles that are like have all their marketing packaging to try to like check your hunger sensations, but like looking at fruits and vegetables and just playing around with like if I'm just take a moment to like look at all the produce the way I would look in like a museum at paintings, right? And just notice which ones am I naturally pulled towards. And it's amazing how oftentimes like we're so connected already, right, to what we're being called towards. And if you're like, wow, you know what, there'll be some times where I'm like, you know, mentally, I feel like I don't really need like a mango or whatever, but like I just feel the call when I'm in the supermarket and I'm like, okay. And then I end up eating it and I'm like, oof, I feel so much better, right? And so I think we can also play with it, especially for anyone that's, if you're on your spiritual journey, in general, trying to tap into that divine guidance, trying to take that next aligned action step in any area of your life, a really fun one to start off with, I think, is food. It's simply asking yourself, you know, dear God, higher power, whatnot, like what would feel nourishing for me to have for breakfast? And and just looking through a couple different options, right? And maybe you play around with like three breakfast options. You're like, oh, I always eat eggs and bacon, so I'm going to put that there. And then like another option would be I'm going to have like a smoothie. And then another option might be like, I'm going to have the oatmeal with nuts and berries or whatever, right? And it's like just taking a moment and like tuning into each option, right? And saying, okay, let me think about, if I have that eggs and bacon, like, is that going to make me feel really good today? Is that going to make me feel energized, right? Okay, feel that. Okay, well, how is it going to feel if I have that smoothie, right? And then getting into prayer and communication just in that really basic way. A lot of times we think, okay, well, my higher power doesn't want it, like, doesn't care if I eat oatmeal or a smoothie, right? And I would venture to say, like, of course they do. Of course, every little thing, everything we do has like a micro effect on everything else we do. And so, of course, those small decisions are really important and it can be really easy guidance. And then if you're still early on your path of like trying to decipher your intuitive guidance and playing around with like listening to what's coming through, then do an experiment and try it and then just like game plan it, right? And then I have this thing I call being a food detective where it's like, okay, so maybe you're like, I don't know, I think my guidance wants me to have a smoothie, right? And so you're like, okay, I'm going to just try the smoothie that day and then observe and notice and don't be in the space of like right or wrong or this magazine or that podcast told me that the best thing to have is a smoothie or the worst thing to have is a smoothie, whatever it is. Just notice, how does my body feel after having this smoothie, right? Because there will be some days where, you know, having that smoothie is going to make you feel awesome because that's like exactly what your body needs in that moment, right? And there are going to be other days where your body is like, no, 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 we need protein, right? Or like, or whatever, right? Or we need like rounding oats because we're feeling like really up in our head today, right? And so it's like about getting beyond these kind of like black and white, trying so hard to figure it out with our mental mind and then bringing it back to our spiritual connection, bringing it back to our intuitive guidance. And I think food is like a great place to start with that and experiment. And the more I find you trust those urges or those, you know, that guidance when you feel like it doesn't make sense, when you're like, oh, I don't know, it's like cold out, why do I feel like I should have a smoothie, you know, or whatever, and just like, just try it, see what happens, right? And then you get like that affirmation, you're like, oh wow, when I listen, it works out. And then I think that carries over into every area of your life. Like I was saying before, for anybody that's listening that's like an entrepreneur, like really like kind of success-driven career focus, that is how I have like scaled my business, right? That is how like, you know, everything else in my life has like started shifting too, is because if you can start listening to that intuitive guidance around like oatmeal, eggs, or a smoothie, right, in the morning, then you can start listening to that guidance when it comes to like, should I hire that person to consult for me? Should I launch that product right now? Right? We can, because it's all the same guidance.
Yeah, I love this. And that's the key also, when we purify the vessel, we purify the mind. Energy, life force can flow through us. Intuition will be ignited. We can decalcify the pineal. We can actually sense the energy that's moving in our field. I think this is powerful. And I loved what you said. I want to ask you a spiritual question in a moment. But before we do, I love what you said just before in regards to how we can look at our reality and be successful by really anchoring it into our values. Because some people want to live a pure life because they want to be healthy and they want to feel great and they want to be happy. But other people are driven by success and so on and so forth. And I did this as a trial. I ate unhealthy I tried for 12 weeks. I only lasted 6. And I was so sad and angry and depressed and upset. And I had flatulence and my skin flared up and I was upset at the people around me and snappy at my colleagues. For 6 weeks, I couldn't deal with it. I just ate unhealthy standard foods for 6 weeks. And what I realized, which will perhaps be important for those of you who are interested in having success, impact, fulfillment, and money mastering, is I realized that my business started crashing the moment I did. I did not have energy to sit up in front of the computer and do my emails. I did not feel inspired to inspire my team. And the list goes on and on and on and on. So realizing that and doing the numbers, rough numbers, I would have at the time lost a good $250,000 to $500,000 if I kept that up for the year. And this is like 15 years ago. So if you're somewhat inspired about success or money, eating clean is non-negotiable because you'll be so focused, so conscious, so present, so energetic, and so aware that it'll ripple through your organizations and, of course, also through your staff. So keep this in mind as you devote yourself to a life of purity, even just one step at a time, as we've discussed. So just my two cents worth on that. I want to segue quickly. Can you quickly tell me about what you believe is going on in the world at the moment? There seems to be a big shift. There seems to be stuff happening inside of us individually. And there's a lot of division, turmoil, things that are going on. With your understanding of spirituality, with your understanding and connection to God, what would you say might be happening and how we best can go about it, perhaps? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're definitely in the midst of a great awakening period and also kind of like a great discerning period of kind of things. And there's been a lot of different spiritual lineages that have kind of predicted this time, whether it's like astrology and like shifting more into the Aquarian age. We just had a big astrological shift with Pluto going from Capricorn to Aquarius, which is going to have a lot of ripple effects on, I think, all of our lives. And then also you had like back like Yogi Bhajan from the like Kundalini yoga tradition. One of the things he predicted was that during this time frame, a third people will wake up, a third of people are going to go crazy, and a third of people are going to die, right? And I don't know if it's exactly a third, a third, a third, or whatever, right? But it does seem like it resonates a little much where we have, you know, it's really this opportunity to wake up and to kind of like see what's going on behind the curtain. More things are being revealed. More and more people are seeing it clearly. And then if you're not, I feel like a lot of us are, you know, going crazy is like a whatever, but it's like going crazy can be a lot of things, right? Going crazy can just be being stuck in our old habits, right? Going crazy can be, you know, being constantly in like anxiety and fear and worry, right? There's all different like kind of levels of what that like broad term could be. And then there was another from Gene Keyes. I don't know if anybody that follows you studies Gene Keyes, but Gene Key 55, he also talks about this, about, again, how there's going to be this period of time where essentially it's we're waking up as a collective, and there's going to be, it's funny, one of the things that was really interesting, I was 4 years ago, right before the pandemic, kept on waking up and hearing like 55 and had this book. And I was like, that's so weird. I've read the book. Like when I got the book, I like dove into like all the Gene Keys and got into it. And I was like, it's great. And then it was on the shelf. And then I kept on hearing this number. I look at it and it's like right at the start of the pandemic. And it literally is talking about how, you know, as we evolve, we're going to, you know, there are different things that are going to like force us to kind of clean up our diet, or we're not going to continue, right? Physically. And so one of the things was about how like naturally we're going to be evolving to need to eat less food. We're going to naturally be evolving to not want to eat as dense food. We're going to naturally be evolving to not want as much salt or sugar in our food. And so I think there's like so many different things going on, and where all of our souls have selected to be here at this like pivotal point in history. And we have an option to like get on the bus, like individually, collectively share about the bus with other people and kind of let them know that this is, I think there's a lot of like crazy things going on in the world, a lot of like tragedies going on in the world. And also like anything can be utilized for good or evil, to simplify it, right? Or it can be utilized to rise up or rise down. Like we can let all these things that are coming to light, or these things that are, you know, tragic that we're seeing in the news and all this stuff, we can let it disempower us and let us, you know, go eat our ice cream and, you know, numb out on our favorite Netflix binge or whatever it is, right? And like no one would fault you for it because it's a lot, right? But we also had that opportunity to take this moment and say, okay, but how do I shine a light amidst this darkness? How do I, and I think kind of you hit on it earlier with like embracing like our own sovereignty. And like it starts with us first, then it starts with our home, our community, right? Like we have to embrace it within our own life first and start shifting that. And I think just to go back to like, I love astrology, and we're coming out of a 15-year Pluto transit in Capricorn. And Capricorn is like symbolic of a lot of the like old kind of methodical rules, like constriction. Like it's not a bad energy. Like I have a lot of Capricorn in my chart. It makes me a great businesswoman. It's like I have a goal and I'm going to do boom, 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 boom and get that goal done kind of energy. But as a collective level, Capricorn kind of represents like the old regime, right? And we're coming into Aquarius, which is like total, like psychedelic energy, right? Is like no rules, just right energy. And just like this whole new revolution of looking at things in a way that we've never looked at them before. And allowing ourselves to see that in our own life too, right? Because once again, like the collective is impacted by each and every one of us. So thinking about, okay, within my own life, where have I just kind of fallen in line? Where have I just kind of like done these like old methods? And are they still working for me? Did they ever really work for me, right? And where do I need to switch things up? Where do I need to like try something that feels maybe a little bit more out of the box for me? Dare to be Aquarian is very like futuristic energy. So it is about embracing, you know, being on like a trailblazer of some of this stuff, right? And I think it's so interesting because probably for you and for me who have kind of been in this world for a while, it doesn't feel so trailblazy, at least for me, I'll say, anymore, because I feel like I was like been doing it for a while now. But it still is when we looked at like this, like the collective as a whole, right? And there's going to be even more things coming up that I think each and every one of us have that opportunity. And like you said, whatever motivates you, I really believe I have this, you know, concept or theory that I teach in a lot of my classes. It's like we're all divinely designed. So whatever that thing that's motivating you, I don't care. If you want to be like a multimillionaire, great. If you want to create a product that's going to change the world, awesome. If you want to be like the best mom ever, super, right? If you want to just like be able to run a triathlon when you're 50 because that's like your thing, perfect, right? It's all there in service of the greater good. And that's like a unique journey that your soul picked. You have that desire. You have that motivation that everything that we talked about today, you can utilize to achieve it. Right? So it's like the means will be similar, but the outcome based on like what's your drive, what your desire might change, right? Based on what you want. But it all requires, I think, us to wake up in all the different ways. It requires us to have a deeper connection to our source, by whatever name we want to call it, have, you know, take that intuitive action. And I think especially as we're embracing these new waves of kind of what's going on collectively, that's when we need that, right? That's when we need to tune in to like, okay, I'm so glad that I tuned in over my breakfast, right? Because now when I have to make a decision about my kid's health, I can tune into that same thing.
Nice.
And I don't have to get overwhelmed by we're living in like an information age that is like a tainted information age, I would say, right? Where we have so much information coming at us from all different angles, all different sources. It's so hard to know what to believe. And in a way, it's the greatest gift because we shouldn't believe any of it and we should just go in, right? We should go straight to the source. And we should run it through our own internal operating system. It's like, great, if you want to like read all the things, I love researching, you know, read all the things, inform yourself. But then at the end of the day, also like run it through your own truth meter, right? And feel like what feels good to me, right? What feels right to me? What feels like, you know, and I think if we all ask those questions about different things that are coming in the world, as well as, you know, as we, whether it's AI or different, you know, medicines that come out or whatever, right? That there's so many different ways that like things are going to be moving forward, right? And we can, within ourselves, find the ways, right? Like everyone was talking about, one of my favorite memes, I think, is a great example of kind of what we're moving into future-wise, is like, why aren't we using AI to solve the problem of all the plastic in our oceans, but we're using it to take away people's jobs, right? Like screenwriting jobs, right? Which is like a big thing. And I'm just like, it's just a perfect example, right? Of like some of the new technology and the tools that are things that are coming up, they're not inherently evil, right? But it's like, what are we going to use them for, mm-hmm. right? And can we use them to create a better world? And that starts with how we use everything in our own life as well.
Perfect. Got one last question for you straight off the cuff. Are you ready? What to imagine that you are now on the world stage. 8 billion people and every sentient being on the planet has gathered to hear your message to the world. Whenever you're ready, take a breath and do share. What is your message to the world right now, Cassandra?
Your soul is here for a reason at this time. And you chose this beautiful, coveted incarnation at this moment with all of its challenges and all of its beauties and all of the desires that you have in your heart and all of your skills and all of your talents and all of your deficits, all of it. You chose it all for this beautiful journey to come here and to grow and to experience and to leave this world a better place because of your imprint and how you have lived your life. And what would happen if you woke up every day and fully owned that in all of what it means and just started living your life like you were divinely designed and that this path you're on is perfect and that you have the greatest higher power source, you have a hyperspeed connection to ultimate divine truth that only needs you to ask and receive and take action on what you hear, that it can really be that simple.
Amen. That is awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Cassandra Bodzak, that is cassandrabodzak.com. YouTube, same thing, Cassandra Bodzak TV. Instagram, Cassandra Bodzak, and the same on Facebook. Thank you so much for taking the time. This has been delightful. I think people will really love this. And if you're listening, if you're watching, if you've got value from this, which I'm certain if you're listening until this point you have, please share it. Share it with as many people as you can because we need as many people to have access to these very powerful tools in this very important time. Thank you so much again, Cassandra.
Yes, thank you for having me. This was a pleasure.
Pleasure indeed. Once again, thank you so much for listening. And if you want to learn more about how to walk the quantum path into life mastery, business mastery, if you want to learn more about our live events or coaching or anything that we offer, go to www.drespen.com. That's DRESPEN.com or email info@drespen.com. And let's find out how we can help you take your life, your business, and your mission to a whole another level. We'll see you next time.